Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
It is 12:37 here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here this afternoon. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook at Steve Bertrand or Steve Bertrand on Books or the old-fashioned way, drop me an email, stevebertrand@wgnradio.com. All right, we talk business here. We talk to a lot of people who know about running a small business, but we don't talk to too many people who know about running a small business and a lot about jujitsu as well. Jay Valco does. He is the owner and the operator of Valco Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy, and he joins us in the studio. Jay, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the first thing I'm going to ask you is something I want to know about your business and how you got into it and everything, but give me a couple sentences on jiu-jitsu because it's one of those things that I know is a martial art, but I don't really know much else about it.
Sure. So jiu-jitsu is a martial art. You know, martial arts is mostly self-defense system, but jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu in particular, is a sport aspect to it, kind of similar to wrestling or judo. And basically, when you watch the Ultimate Fighting Championship and they're in the cage, once they hit the ground, they're doing jiu-jitsu. So you try to lock up a limb or get a hold of someone's neck with the goal of trying to get them to submit, which is tap out.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So when you're competing, is it a point system or is it just until someone gives up?
So it's a point system. If somebody gives up, the match is over, no matter what the score. But there's a time frame, and if nobody taps out, there's a point system to determine the winner.
Okay. And so you run an academy where you are teaching people how to – what's the verb? How to jiu-jitsu? How to
How to fight, I guess, is fine. It's a little bit hard to say that without sounding like a roughneck, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Basically, people ask, what do you do? It's always an interesting question because when you say martial arts, they think of Karate Kid. If you say jiu-jitsu, they don't know what that is. And you say it's similar to wrestling and they think the WWF. So it's a little hard to like
I also
fully
think
explain.
Of kids. Is this a kids thing?
It is, but since I'm downtown, I don't have a kids program, but I am going to start one next year.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, so you opened up first, what, in 2008?
And 2007, actually.
2007, and you have plans to expand next year.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I've been in my current location for 5 years, and then January 1st, we're staying in the same location, which is I rent from a gym called Hi-Fi Fitness at 820 North Orleans. And we're moving into a bigger section of the gym that'll be a little nicer, a little more private, and I'm looking forward to it.
So tell me about when you decided that you thought, okay, I know jiu-jitsu, I want to jump into the business world and make this happen.
Well, it was always in the back of my mind, but it's actually not something I necessarily deliberately did. I had a career. I was trading futures at the Chicago Board of Trade. That's why I moved to Chicago. And then a person that I know was opening a gym, a regular gym, and basically he wanted jiu-jitsu in there because jiu-jitsu was kind of exploding and he had done some jiu-jitsu. So we got in touch and he basically asked me if I would teach jiu-jitsu at his gym and if we could try to work out a program. And I said, sure, let's think about it. And we talked about it and figured out the details, and that's how it grew.
But when you started your own business, then you had to come up with some capital for rent, right? I mean, how did you pay the rent in the beginning?
Right. So the way it worked out was very fortunate to me. So the gym knew that I, in the beginning, wouldn't have any students, and they were buying all their equipment anyways. They got the business right off. So they bought the jiu-jitsu stuff, and then we worked out a percentage profit sharing. So every new student I got, I kept some of it. I gave them some of it. So if I had one student, it didn't matter. If I had 100 students, it was good for both of us.
And so that allowed you to get going from the ground floor.
Exactly.
You've got more than one student now, don't you, Jay?
I've got a couple more than one. Yeah.
And is it going well?
It's going well, yeah. This is our, so we've been open since 2007, so our eighth year, and every year has been better than the last, and hopefully that trend will just go on forever.
When it started, how did you, I guess if you're starting out in a gym, in an existing gym, that's where you're going to reach your clients. I mean, I'm just wondering how, you know, does location matter, or how do you attract clients to become jiu-jitsu students?
Well, so actually the transfer from the gym was negligible. It was maybe a couple people kind of saw what we were doing and took interest. What I found the most important way to get jiu-jitsu students is to have a really good reputation and a really good online reputation. It's basically people don't see a sign for jiu-jitsu and then go, oh, that looks interesting, I want to sign up. They usually want to do jiu-jitsu from whatever reason. They know a friend or they're in the UFC or whatever, and then they seek out a place. So I've done a good job of like encouraging my students to speak well of us on internet forums and Yelp reviews and things like that, and that really goes a long way.
So you're not really reaching out. You're trying to catch the people who are reaching in.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's worked for you.
Yeah, it works. I mean, I have done some various types of advertising. Like when I first opened, I went all around town and put flyers in every Starbucks, right. gym, anything I can find. And that, you know, we got a couple people in from that, but it's really been, if you go to martial arts forums, you'll scroll down and someone will say like, oh, I'm looking for a gym in Chicago. Where do I train? And then if I'm lucky, one of my students will see it and he'll write like, I train at Jay's. It's a great school, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, you know what really works is radio advertising, Jay. We could sign you up before you leave.
Okay. I'll talk to the guy about it afterward.
So what's harder, fighting with your sparring partner or fighting with government, with regulation and setting up all the stuff you need to do?
Was my sparring partners because they're super tough.
Okay.
Yeah. No, honestly, the government things have not been too bad. It's when you're self-employed, you got to send in your quarterly taxes. That's like hard when you're in the beginning and you don't really know how much you're supposed to put away. You can't project your income. And with jiu-jitsu, it's not a consistent, you know, 2-week paycheck. Some months are great. Some months are a little worse and it's all over the place. So preparing for that's a little hard, but other than that, it's really not that bad.
So there were any surprises for you when it came time to becoming a small businessman?
More the having to think about small business, like teaching jiu-jitsu is fairly straightforward. You have to be good at jiu-jitsu, but running a business, you have to think about, like, I didn't know from the beginning that to cultivate a reputation was the way to go.
Right.
That's just kind of the way it went over time. And then, you know, when you run a small business, nobody sets up a 401k for you. Nobody's saving money for you. You got to learn how to do all that yourself. So I had to pick up a number of books about business and
have
money
you enjoyed
and stuff
that?
Like that. Oh, yeah, I love it. I'm a perpetual book listener, really. It's audiobooks and really trying to figure out how to do all this on my own. And I kind of like learning to do it on your own. Then you feel good about it.
Well, that's a nice thing because, you know, there are a lot of people who have a passion. If yours is jiu-jitsu, and then they try to move it into a business and they sort of get buried or overwhelmed by the business stuff, and that's not your case.
Right, exactly. I mean, the income is like I said, it fluctuates, and in the beginning, it's really not that great at all. But you figure it out as you go. But just like teaching jiu-jitsu, running a business is a skill, and you got to learn it, and you got to figure it out, and you got to study it. And like I said, for me, it's been mostly through books and talking to a number of my students are very successful businessmen, and I'll kind of ask their opinion on this thing or that thing that I'm thinking, and it's really been helpful.
Well, it's working out. You're getting bigger. Jay Valco, nice to – and when I say bigger, I mean your facility. You're just fine. You're a perfect size. Jay Valco of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy, 820 North Orleans.
Correct.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.